Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, most gracious, most merciful. Welcome again to finish our dialogue today, and this is part two of Islam and Muslims, and it's a dialogue between two, basically it's a question and answer. So let's go to part two now. Thanks again for listening to me. Who was Muhammad, by the way? Well, Muslims believe he was a prophet and messenger of God, the last and final in a long chain of prophets through whom God revealed his guidance to mankind. He was born around the year 570 CE into a noble family in the Arabian city of Mecca. At the age of 40, he was commissioned with his prophetic mission as he started receiving divine revelation through the medium of angel Gabriel, and the process continued for another 22 years until he breathed his last in the year 632 CE. Muhammad was a direct descendant of Prophet Abraham, may the blessing and peace be upon them all. And he was the direct descendant of Prophet Abraham, peace be upon him, through his first son Ishmael, peace be upon him. They were all prophets. Muhammad's, peace be upon him, advent, in fact, can be seen as a fulfillment of a biblical prophecy that God would bless Ishmael, peace be upon him. Let's listen to this biblical prophecy. And as for Ishmael, I have heard you. I will surely bless him. I will make him fruitful and will greatly increase his numbers. He will be the father of 12 rulers, and I will make him into a great nation. Genesis chapter 17, verse 20. Come, lift up the boy and hold him fast with your hand, for I will make a great nation of him. Genesis 21:18. And an answer to Abraham's, peace be upon him, prayer, as the Quran mentions, our Lord, raise up in their midst a messenger from among them who shall convey unto them your messages and impart unto them revelation as well as wisdom, and cause them to grow in purity, for verily you alone are the Almighty, the Wise. Chapter 2, verse 129. Was there Islam before Prophet Muhammad? Yes, Yes, Islam did exist before Muhammad, peace be upon him, although we cannot say the same thing with reference to other prophets, religious figures, e.g. no Christianity before Christ, no Buddhism before Buddha. Though Islam, as commonly understood, refers to a historically recognized religion emerging from the time of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, in the 7th century, the Quran uses the term Islam always in its functional sense, irrespective of time and place. Wasn't Islam founded or started by Muhammad? No. Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, never claimed that he brought to his people a new religion. On the contrary, the Quran emphasizes the continuity of the same original religion. The same religion he has established for you as that he enjoined on Noah, that which we've revealed to you, O Muhammad, or that which we have revealed to you, O Muhammad, that which we enjoined on Abraham and Moses and Jesus, that you should remain steadfast in religion and make no divisions therein. Chapter 42, verse 13. This is a verse in the Quran, or the translation of the meaning of one of the verses in the Quran. Say, we believe in God, and that which has been revealed to us, and that which was revealed to Abraham and Ishmael and Isaac and Jacob and the tribes, and that which was given to Moses and Jesus and to the prophets from the Lord, We make no distinction between one and another of them, and to him we submit in Islam. Chapter 3, verse 84. Does this mean that Islam was a religion of all the prophets of God? Yes, of course. We believe all the prophets of God as well as their followers were Muslims because they recognized, accepted, and submitted to the will of the one true God. The Holy Quran, as a matter of fact, says, in the meaning of which, Abraham was neither a Jew nor a Christian, but a strict Muslim. Chapter 3, verse 67. In another chapter 10, verse 72, Noah addressed his people saying, I have been commanded to be one of those who submit to God's will in Islam. Also, in chapter 2, verse 133, we read, the sons of Jacob replying to him said, we shall worship your God and the God of your fathers, Abraham and Ishmael and Isaac, the one God to whom we bow in Islam. In English language usage, the word Muslim refers to a person belonging to a historically recognized religious community starting from the time of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. But in the Quranic usage, it is applied in an abstract sense. The Arabic language, by the way, does not have capital letters to make a distinction between Muslim and Muslim. One is in the capital letters and the other one is in the small letter except for the first letter. The distinction made today for reasons of convenience and historical bookkeeping is thus not a Quranic one. Do you mean that the religion of Jesus was likewise Islam? Yes, we believe that his religion was no other than Islam. In fact, no Muslim is a Muslim if he does not believe in Jesus Christ, peace be upon him. Consider the following points. 1. The religion of Jesus, peace be upon him, was neither Christianity nor Judaism. He was a Jew by race and was calling his fellow Jews back to the authentic religion of Abraham and Moses, but was not preaching what is today called Judaism. He never claimed that he was preaching Christianity. In fact, the word Christian appeared for the first time decades after Jesus, peace be upon him, had left this world. In fact, the word Christian appeared for the first time decades after Jesus, peace be upon him, had left this world. The Bible states, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Acts chapter 11, verse 26. As for the word Christ, it is an English derivative from the Greek word Christos, meaning the anointed one, Messiah in the Hebrew language. Jesus, peace be upon him, spoke neither English nor Greek. His language was Aramaic, a sister language to Arabic and to classical Hebrew. 2. As Jesus, peace be upon him, submitted his will to the will of the one true God, by definition he was a Muslim. In the Bible we find many references indicating that Jesus, peace be upon him, was teaching his followers to believe in the one true God and to keep the commandments of God and to do the will of God. The single word in the Arabic language for this concept is Islam. Some examples of Jesus, peace be upon him, teachings from the Gospels. Let's go over them. In John chapter 4, verse 34, we read, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to complete his work. In John 5, 30, we read, I can do nothing on my own. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just because I seek to do not my own will, but the will of him who sent me. In John 17:3, we read, and this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. In Matthew 19:17, we read, there is only one who is good. If you wish to enter into life, keep the commandments. In Matthew 12:50, we read, for whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. Also we read in Matthew 5 verses 17 and 18, Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish but to fulfill. Three, also we find Jesus, peace be upon him, adhering to Islamic observances such as praying, fasting, greeting others, etc. For example, A. He prostrated in prayer, as Muslims do. We read in Matthew 26:39, And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, talking about Jesus, peace be upon him. B. He fasted for 40 days. See Matthew 4, verse 2. C. He greeted people saying, Peace be unto you, which means Assalamu alaikum in Arabic, as Muslims do. We read in John 20, verse 19, Came Jesus and stood in the midst, and said unto them, Peace be unto you. That's interesting. What do Muslims believe regarding Jesus Christ? Well, Muslims believe that he was conceived miraculously. He was conceived miraculously, that is, without a human father, through the same power which brought Adam, peace be upon him, into being. We believe that by God's power, he performed miracles, including giving life to the dead and healing the blind and the lepers by God's power, as signs of his authenticity as a prophet and messenger sent by God. We also believe in his second coming before the end of time. We respect him and revere him as much as we do Abraham, Moses, and Muhammad, peace be upon them all. We respect and revere his mother Mary, peace be upon her, and believe that she was chosen by God above the other women of all nations. And of course, we believe in her pure name and original name, which is Maryam, as Mary is a Latinized name that came later on. Muslims believe that Jesus, whose real name is Isa, again, Jesus is a Latinized name that came later on. Muslims believe that Jesus, peace be upon him, was one of the foremost Risalat messengers of God. We feel that Jews and Christians have gone to extremes regarding the nature of Jesus, peace be upon him. Jews reject him as a representative of God and call him an impostor with illegitimate parentage. Christians, at the other extreme, raise him to the position of divinity. However, Muslims believe him to be neither impostor nor God incarnate. The Muslim standpoint agrees, in fact, with the Bible. See the following verses: Isaiah 43 verses 10 and 11, Isaiah 44 verse 6, John chapter 5 verse 30, John chapter 7 verse 16, Luke chapter 13 verse 33, Mark chapter 10 verse 18, Matthew chapter 10 verses 40 and 41, Matthew chapter 12 verse 50, Matthew chapter 21 verse 11, Acts chapter 2 verse 22. What about the Muslim position regarding the Hindu lords Rama and Krishna, and also regarding Gautama Buddha? Well, these persons could also be prophets of God who were raised up in their respective parts of the world, India. These persons could also be, maybe, or might have been also prophets of God who were raised up in their respective parts of the world, India. Since according to the Quran, God has sent or had sent prophets and messengers to every nation in the world throughout history. But that's not, of course, quite confirmed. But they might have been. According to a saying of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, The number of prophets raised in the world was around 124,000 prophets, but only 25 have been mentioned by name in the Quran, perhaps because these were familiar to the Arabian peoples who received the revelation. In the Quran, we read in the meaning of which, this is chapter 10, verse 47, to every people was sent a messenger. Of some messengers we have already mentioned unto you, of others we have not. This is chapter 4, verse 164. However, we face some problem concerning the accuracy of the written records available to us today about the life, histories, and teachings of these religious figures, since these documents were written down many generations after their time. Myths and stories about Rama, Krishna, and Gautama Buddha circulating among their followers now bear no authenticity or authority from God by Muslim standards of evidence. This is understandable when we consider that in those ancient times, writing materials were not developed or readily available. Communication was primitive, and perfect preservation of the original material for a long time was very difficult. Even the languages had not been fully developed. The preaching was limited to oral preservation until much later. The purity or the originality of the teachings was thus partially lost, forgotten, or misunderstood, especially in the areas where human speculation comes into play, such as the concept of God, life after death, etc. When we can notice similar problems at the times of Jesus, who lived only 2,000 years ago, no wonder there has been much more severe distortions in the original teachings and life accounts of the actual personalities of the earlier prophets, with little authentic historical record. The same thing can also be said about other prophets elsewhere, such as China, where a great civilization was thriving in the past. Confucius could also be a godsend messenger in that part of the world. Still not confirmed, but he might have been. That's very interesting dialogue we're having now. I'm really enjoying the chat here. Let me continue asking you questions here. I hope I have not made you bored from my questions. Not at all. Continue asking questions. Well, if Islam is the oldest religion and all the prophets were Muslims, then why are there so many religions in the world? That's a good question. The Muslims believe in one God, as I previously mentioned, one source of guidance and one basic message for all of mankind, that there is none worthy of worship except the one and only God. Being the caring creator and sustainer of all mankind, God cannot be partial so as to choose one nation to the exclusion of all others for revealing his messages. He raised up prophets in every nation to guide each people to the path of truth and righteousness. Of course, based again on the same concept of believing in one God, submitting yourself to the will of God. With the passage of time, the followers of earlier prophets gradually started deviating from the original teachings. Ideologies and practices that were strange to the original teachings crept into the religion, unintentionally or deliberately, and the purity of belief in God was lost. However, God kept sending prophets from time to time to remind them of the truth in order to bring them back to the right path. But none of these prophets claimed that they were starting a new religion. Some people, who are the truth seekers, listened to them, corrected themselves and became Muslim. while others remained stuck in their false pride, adhering to their deviant practices and traditions. Then how do you explain the existence of religions with many different names? Well, we can notice that the names of other religions are essentially identification titles. One, these names have no particular intrinsic significance or sanctity. These were simply derived from the name of a person, e.g. Buddhism was named after Buddha, Christianity after Christ, or from the name of a tribe like Judaism after the tribe of Judah, or after the name of a place like Hinduism after Hind, referring to the land of India, a variation of Sindh, Indus in English. By contrast, the name Islam does not have any such attachments, but rather focuses on God, representing the central principle of God's religion, submission to the will of God. In its 7th century historical sense, Islam with a capital I distinguishes the followers of Muhammad, peace be upon him, from the followers of other localized prophets. When I say localized prophets, I mean they were sent to their own people, not to the whole world, like Muhammad, peace be upon him. 2. These names were not given by God or by the prophets of God, or even by their followers. These were adopted by the people outside the faith. E.g., the name Christian was first employed by pagans and dissenting Jews in a derogatory manner, meaning in a very negative manner. Whereas the name Islam was given by God and recorded in His Holy Scripture, the Holy Quran. 3. These names were adopted not during the lifetime of the respective prophets, but appeared at a much, much later time. Buddha, for example, did not say that his religion was Buddhism, or that he was the founder of Buddhism. How do Muslims regard other religions, by the way? Muslims do not dismiss other major religions of the world, but consider them as stages or links and strands in one human story, one attitude of faith in the one creator. They do not regard them as religions, plural, but rather the same original religion of God, Islam, which later lost its purity in various forms at various times and places, and took different names because of various historical factors. Therefore, the Islam that appeared in its last and final phase with the advent of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, should not be seen as competing with any of these so-called religions, but rather Muslims view Islam in its corrective role as the true and purified form of all these religions representing the uncorrupted Islam. If Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, I'm using here peace be upon him, I've started really feeling good about what you're saying, man. If Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, was sent for all the people of the world, shouldn't his coming have been prophesied in earlier scriptures? Yes, though the earlier scriptures are not preserved in their original form and have undergone changes with the message of time, still we find recognizable glimpses of such prophecies pointing to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, examples. For example, you find some prophecies in Deuteronomy 18:18, in Genesis 21 verses 13 and 18, Isaiah 42 verses 1 to 13, John 16 verses 7 to 14, John 14 verse 16. So there are references both in the Old Testament and the New Testament. 2. In Hindu scriptures, the prophet is mentioned as Muhammad. In Bhavishya Puran, Prati Sart Parv 3, chapter 3, verses 3 and also from 5 to 8. And as Narashan Saha in Atharva Veda, very difficult to pronounce these names, by the way. And this is 20th chapter in Kuntap Sukt, which literally means the praised one in English, equivalent in meaning to the Arabic name Muhammad, peace be upon him. In Buddhist scriptures, the prophet is mentioned as well as Maitreya or Mitaya, Miruku in Japanese, Mitaliya in Chinese, Mitrija in Tibetan, which means mercy unto all, as the Quran calls Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, in chapter 21, verse 107. In Zoroastrian Parsi scriptures, the Prophet to come is mentioned as Sushyant, the mercy unto all, and Asta Vatirata in Zend Avista, and also in Dasatir Epistle of Sasan the First, pages from 55 to 61. See Muhammad in Parsi, Hindu, and Buddhist scriptures by A.H. Vidyarthi and U. Ali, published by Islamic Book Services in New Delhi, India. So, prophecies about the advent of Muhammad, peace be upon him, in earlier scripture worldwide indicate that A. the source of all the revealed religions is the same, or in other words, the religion of all the earlier prophets was the same, Islam. B. the awaited prophet, i.e. Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, is the universal prophet. All people now are called upon to examine his history and to follow his teachings. That's interesting. Again, you amaze me as I go along asking these questions. Was the type of Islam of the earlier prophets the same as that of the present day, if I may ask this question? Yeah, you could easily ask this question, why not? Basically and essentially, Islam has been the same throughout the history of mankind. The fundamental teachings, i.e. belief in one God, adherence to a life of piety, goodness and peace, belief in life after death, and ultimate reward or punishment, were the same. However, since all the prophets earlier than Muhammad, peace be upon him, were sent locally to warn and teach their own people and not for the whole world, the legal codes varied according to the needs and the stage of development of the society and civilization. These differences, however, were relatively minor and superficial, while the fundamentals were the same all through. Islam, as preached by Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, is in its final, uncorrupted and uncorruptible, complete and comprehensive form. It is for all the people of the world and for all times to come. No wonder its basic source of teachings, the Quran, is preserved intact by God in its exact original form and in its original language, which is not the case with any other previous scripture. And that's a miracle in itself, or a godly miracle, that you find the Quran in exactly the same wording, the same letters, to the minutest, for the past 1,400 years. Well, I would like really to stop here. I'm tired a bit, but I'm really enjoying it. Could we stop here and maybe we could meet at a different time to continue this very interesting and exciting discussion and dialogue? I'm really enjoying it. And I think if we would do this all the time, and we non-Muslims and Muslims continue dialoguing in this way, we will really progress and have peaceful world. With that, I would like really to thank you very much. Don't mention it, nice man. I'm really enjoying it. I'm enjoying your questions. I'm ready to answer as many questions as you have, and let's hope that we'll get back again to finish basically your questions that you have. With that, I would like really also to wish you inshallah a good travel, because I know you're traveling today. So with that, I would like really to wish you a good travel. Just be safe, and let's arrange the second meeting inshallah. Thank you very much. Take care. Thank you.